This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
Yeah, sure thing.
Hey, you sold that car yet?
Yeah, sold it to Carvana.
Oh, I thought you were selling to that guy.
The guy who wanted to pay me in foreign currency, no interest over 36 months? Yeah, no. Carvana gave me an offer in minutes, picked it up, and paid me on the spot. It was so convenient.
Just like that.
Yeah.
No hassle.
None.
That is super convenient.
Sell your car to Carvana and swap hassle for convenience. Pickup fees may apply.
Where'd you get those shoes? Easy. They're from DSW. Because DSW has the exact right shoes for whatever you're into right now. You know, like the sneakers that make office hours feel like happy hour. The boots that turn grocery aisles into runways, and all the styles that show off the many sides of you, from daydreamer to multitasker and everything in between, because you do it all in really great shoes. Find a shoe for every you at your DSW store or DSW.com.
It's time for Hour Tua.
It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua. It's Hour Tua, 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 Tagovailoa, not
Tua Tagovailoa,
a forever Dolphins quarterback,
Tua.
It's Hour Tua, it's Hour Tua,
Tua,
Tua, Tua, Tua, Tua, Tua, Tua. To hell, Tua Tagovailoa, Dolphins quarterback.
Daddy loves you guys.
Hour Tua with Tobin and Leroy.
Check the history of food.
Hour Tua of the program, ladies and gentlemen. Tobin and Leroy here with you, 560 WQAM. Want to let you guys know we got Jason Aldean bringing his full throttle tour to the I Think Financial Amphitheater in October. Keep listening to our show. We got a pair of tickets to give away today for that show. It's a Live Nation tour. Let's get to headlines here, brought to you by Doral Hyundai. At Doral Hyundai, choose for over 1,300 new Hyundai miles in inventory at the Tucson, Sonata, and Palisade. Remember, when it comes to Hyundai, the great deals are at Doral Hyundai. We'll talk later on this hour with Peter Pratt. We have regathered him, so he will hop in later on this hour. We'll talk some fish with him. The spring training is underway. But as far as headlines are concerned, the Dolphins.
Ooh.
According to NFL Network's Cameron Wolf, the Dolphins are going to let safety Javon Holland test free agency and do not plan to use the franchise tag on the snowman.
Why are we
There's a couple of things here.
No, Leroy, explain it.
There's a couple of things here. It kind of has the same feel of the Christian Wilkins deal where he played and now they really don't feel like they can afford him.
Mm-hmm. What?
But the thing that bothers me is if I'm Chris Greer and there's questions about how I draft or whatever, you're not helping your cause by getting rid of all of the guys you drafted.
Nope.
And so you got to have some, you know, staples, some guys, some young guys you brought in. They playing all these contract games with the guys they drafted. That usually doesn't end well.
No, it doesn't. I mean, it bit him in the ass last year with Andrew Van Ginkle. Certainly, even at a much... Look, the Wilkins thing was a pretty public thing for a couple of years. We kind of knew where that was going. Javon, it's an interesting one because, like, I think by most people's eyes, like, it wasn't his best season. But I still think there's a lot of people that look at him and be like, oh, he's 24, 25 years old. He is...
Right.
obviously got a lot of dynamic talent. He has been playing banged up. I mean, he had the year where he had the two knee injuries. Last year he played with the thumb and some other stuff. There was some questions about whether or not, you know, did he lay it all out on the line during certain seasons because he was making business decisions. I don't know. I do think that the guy's not a bum. And again, you're going to probably get nothing for him.
Right.
It's like you're going to end up losing a guy who definitely was a good pick. And, you know, now right,
let's think of all the guys. So we got Javon Holland.
Yep.
Minkah Fitzpatrick, you traded. Christian Wilkins walked. Van Ginkle walked because you didn't want to give him $10 million. Who else?
Noah Igbinoghi played a lot for the Commanders last year.
No, right. So, like, there's just...
And they...
What's the point? Don't have any draft picks then.
Yeah.
It seems like they're costing you more problems.
But that's what I'm saying.
They are helping.
But that's the thing that he's like, look, Chris Greer very clearly has a comfort in the known quantity. Like, he likes making the home run cuts. He likes making monster trades. That's what he likes doing.
Right.
And I think from his standpoint, you know, losing another guy from this young defense is disappointing, because I think my thought is he's going to go somewhere else and he's going to be Ed Reed. He's going to ball out.
Like, right, but my whole thing is that part of the reason why you can question his drafting is because the players that actually pan out aren't on your team.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, I think just his running of a team right now is in question. I think that's what everybody is looking at and being like, can this guy... This guy was basically like, all right, he tore down to the studs. And, you know, it was like, oh, that's cool, I need that. But then also, man, be really cool if I had a waterfall fountain that was in my foyer, you know? Like,
right.
And it's like, well, don't you need a kitchen sink? Nah, dude, waterfall. I'll just wash my dishes in the waterfall.
That's pretty much. So now you have, and if it's not proof now, it should be in the future, that if you don't have an offensive and defensive line, you can't win. And we have all the skill positions you could ask for. So seeing the way Philly played, seeing the way Detroit played, seeing how Kansas City struggled, Everybody in the league should be fortifying their offense and defensive line.
Right.
And getting a viable run game. The Dolphins have signings that, in the scheme of things, the way football and successful football is played, in the scheme of things, those pieces are irrelevant to the success of your football team. Because you got some of the best receivers and cornerbacks in the league.
Mm-hmm.
But it don't matter if you don't have a pass rush or a protection for your quarterback. And that's kind of where this team is. So I don't know how you go about that. We've all seen the success that teams have had recently, and we consistently, after every Super Bowl, point to a dominant performance by a defensive lineman or a line or what have you. So, as long as I've been around football, those things have been consistent with successful football.
Yeah,
they have been.
And I think with Holland, it's, look, you're going to come into a year and the people who are like, hey, don't break the bank on a guy who gave you no interceptions last year. Now, to be fair, he did basically win you the Jags game. Like, he won that game punching out that fumble.
Had a broken hand the whole time, too. I saw him drop a couple picks. I understand. I mean, not a broken hand. You know, the thumb issue that you mentioned.
Yeah, the soft cast thing.
Yeah, he essentially was playing with one hand. And he does have some injury issues that you do want to keep an eye on, for sure. But like you guys are mentioning, if you don't retain young talent, what's the point of drafting it?
Right, exactly. And so, are we going to, in the future, build the team like Pat Riley, F them picks?
I don't know. I mean, because that's the thing is, like, it doesn't ever feel like there's any foresight with the Dolphins. It feels like they're always on their back foot with this stuff. Like they're always.
It just does. And it seems sometimes I wonder if they're watching the same NFL I'm watching. Right? Sometimes I'm wondering, like, they had a successful run game one year where all that outside stuff was working. But if you look at the teams that have success and go far in the playoffs, they all run in between the tackles. Now, however that works, right, you got to have a solid run game at certain parts of the game and the season. And so I've never, like, and I tell you this every week, the thing that drives me crazy the most with this team, I've never seen a team get more second and 13s and second and 14s than the Miami Dolphins.
Mm-hmm.
It's baffling to me. If a team were to just snap the ball and take a knee, they'd be in a better position than the plays they are calling.
Nah, they'd be less wrestled.
That's crazy.
It'd be less wrestle dazzle, dude. It wouldn't be as cool.
I mean, I guess.
Cam Wolf.
It's just crazy to me how, like, and look, I will say this. I'm going to say Chris Greer knows more about building a team than I do. I'm going to say that because that's his profession and it's not mine. However, a guy that's seen as much football as he has to neglect the offensive line or to not try and build, especially with Tua, the best offensive line possible, I think he should take some of the heat.
But it also seems like they're at a weird spot with that, too, because it's like right now they don't seem to even know, is Teron coming back? Is he not? Are they going to have their second-round pick even play next year in Patrick Paul? Very clearly they're going to, you know, probably move on from Eichenberg unless he's playing for peanuts. I don't know. But it seems like they'll probably end up with two new guards next year. You assume that Jackson's going to come back and play. Brewer was good last year. So,
but you need some kind of consistency. The thing that is playing,
yeah, but it's hard to do. It's hard to do that if you have you know, respectfully to Teron, like you don't. You know, I know he played 15 games last year, but what was it, like 2 or 3? He didn't finish 15 games last year.
Right.
So I don't know, man. Like that's the other thing is like where is even the foundational of this build or fixing? Where is it going to start?
The problem is that at one of your most important positions, you always have to have a backup plan, right? And at offensive line, your backup plan shouldn't be so extensive as they have to be when you're playing with this offensive line. And Teron's awesome when he plays and he's healthy, but it's maybe those 3 or 4 weeks that he doesn't finish a game or doesn't play that you have to be prepared for.
Right. And yeah.
Now,
if
Patrick Paul was farther along to where they thought he could do the job, then it would be a no brainer.
Yeah. But let's say he comes back next year and then you have a year where it's like, all right, Teron does the same thing. Like he plays 13 of 17 games.
Mm-hmm.
But then you're getting into year three with a second round pick who's, what, that's a 4-year contract. You don't even know if the guy's going to be a capable starter or not.
That's what that bothers me with what the Heat do too. Like they'll not play young guys. And then when the guys start playing, you've now played them 1 year and now you got to max them out.
We'll take
because you didn't get your money's worth.
We'll take a break here on the show. Back with more.
You just realized your business needed to hire someone yesterday. How can you find amazing candidates fast? Easy. Just use Indeed. Stop struggling to get your job posts seen on other job sites. Indeed's sponsored jobs help you stand out and hire fast. With sponsored jobs, your post jumps to the top of the page for your relevant candidates, so you can reach the people you want faster. And it makes a huge difference. According to Indeed data, sponsored jobs posted directly on Indeed have 45% more applications than non-sponsored jobs. Plus, with Indeed sponsored jobs, there are no monthly subscriptions, no long-term contracts, and you only pay for results. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility. at Indeed.com/listen. Just go to Indeed.com/listen right now and support our show by saying you heard about Indeed on this podcast. Indeed.com/listen. Terms and conditions apply. Hiring? Indeed is all you need.
When you think about businesses that are selling through the roof like Aloe, Allbirds, or Skims, sure, you think about a great product, a cool brand, and brilliant marketing. But an often overlooked secret is actually the businesses behind the business, making selling and for shoppers buying simple. For millions of businesses, that business is Shopify. Nobody does selling better than Shopify, home of the number one checkout on the planet and the not-so-secret secret with Shop Pay that boosts conversions up to 50%, meaning way less carts going abandoned and way more sales going. So if you're into growing your business, your commerce platform better be ready to sell whenever your customers are scrolling or strolling on the web, in your store, in their feed, and everywhere in between. Upgrade your business and get the same checkout experience as business powerhouses like Aloe, Allbirds, and Skims. Sign up for your $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odysseypodcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odysseypodcast to upgrade your selling today. shopify.com/odysseypodcast.
What kind of programs does this school have? How are the test scores? How many kids do a classroom? Homes.com knows these are all things you ask when you're home shopping as a parent. That's why each listing on Homes.com includes extensive reports on local schools, including photos, parent reviews, test scores, student-teacher ratio, school rankings, and more. The information is from multiple trusted sources and curated by Homes.com's dedicated in-house research team. It's all so you can make the right decision for your family. Homes.com. We've done your homework.
Hey, I'm Ben Stiller.
I'm Adam Scott.
And we make a TV show called Severance. Severance is back for season 2 on Apple TV+.
Before the premiere, Ben and I are going to be binging season 1 and putting out daily recaps. And after that, we're going to keep going as we recap every episode of season 2.
The Severance podcast with Ben Stiller and Adam Scott is presented by State Farm. Like a good neighbor, State Farm is there.
Listen and follow now on Apple Podcasts, the Odyssey app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Can't you see it? A sparkling roadside EV quick charge power facility. It's chargers, control panels, and switchgear powering a renewable energy tomorrow that's squeaky clean. We know that unless you have the right supplier, that world might just be a fantasy. But here at Graybar, with years of renewables experience, we live in that world. Get in touch to see for yourself.
We're now ready to depart.
Book your visit at graybar.com. Yep, Graybar does that.
This.
It's our number 2 with Tobin and Leroy.
Ladies and gentlemen, gentlemen, this is a Jazzy Fizzle production.
Welcome back, everybody. Tobin and Leroy here with you. We got a contest for you. The Slam Dunk in Vegas. Travel and accommodations for one winner and three guests to Las Vegas, plus $20,000. It's easy to enter. Just download the free Odyssey app, log in, or register for an account. Listen to WQM or any participating station. You listen each day for a minimum of 1 hour for your entry. And you can do it every day. The Slam Dunk in Vegas for your chance to win. Just listen to WQAM on the free Odyssey app. Travel dates are March 17th to the 22nd, 2025. And win in Las Vegas. Stay at the Circa Resort and Casino, Las Vegas' premium sports viewing destination. And visit the biggest March hoops party at Stadium Swim. This is a national contest. Speaking of, by the way, I found this kind of interesting. Speaking of March Madness, the Canes are, I'd imagine, not going to March Madness. Been a tough year. Coach L walked away. But what do you think of this, Leroy? There was a report yesterday from Jake Fisher from the Steinline, and he's reporting that the Miami Hurricanes could be looking to a pretty close neighbor for Coach L's replacement. There was a piece on a lot of guys in the NBA thinking of jumping to the NCAA because there's a lot of munion right there right now with all the NIL stuff. And it says
it's a little more. It's a little more. What's the word I'm looking for? You don't get fired as quick in college.
I guess. Yeah. I can't believe they fired Juwan Howard. Was it a firing or a parting of ways? What did they refer to it as?
Parting of ways.
Juwan from Michigan.
I think there was a situation, and then they parted ways.
Well, either way, it said in Jake's piece, elsewhere in the Sunshine State, various NBA coaches are being mentioned as candidates to replace Jim Larrañaga at Miami after Larrañaga stepped down in December. Longtime Heat assistant Chris Quinn has not so quietly been connected to the job, as has former Heat and current Suns assistant coach David Fizdale.
Ooh.
Another intriguing name to monitor for the Hurricanes gig has been NBA with head coaching experience is also Bucks assistant coach Dave Yeager, who used to coach the Grizzlies.
Wow. Seems like they kind of want that Heat culture down there in Miami.
Yeah. That's kind of crazy.
Pipeline.
Chris Quinn has been in some NBA head coaching interview cycles. Chris Quinn jumping to the college game.
You know,
who you think? Now, question, and I'm asking this because I have my thoughts. Who seems more relatable to the kids?
Quinn.
Fizdale does to me, right?
Why?
But maybe that's because I haven't heard as much of Chris Quinn.
Quinn works with a lot of the young guys. Like he's right. got a lot of young guys out of the game.
He's on the same path as Spo was.
Yeah. I mean, you know, and he played. You know, he played in the league.
He's got a fake ID. This guy.
How old is he?
He's like 20. Maybe he's 20. He looks 20.
Chris Quinn.
He's got a fake ID.
38? 40?
No.
I think he's 40. 41.
41.
For young lad. What? 41. I thought that Chris Quinn was going to get an NBA job. But
nowadays it's the same money.
Yeah. Right?
So it's the same money, and universities are a little more reluctant to do a buyout than an NBA coach.
Sure.
So you at least know you're going to get some time.
And it's not like the highest pressure job in the world. You know, it's not like this. You get to stay local. Not that there's no pressure, but it's not like it's not blue bloods.
Him taking the job would be him mailing it in.
No. But it's not Duke. It's not UNC. It's not Kentucky. It's not like Kansas. It's going to be
a handful of those teams.
Yeah, it's going to be a tough challenge. Don't get me wrong, but I think he'll get a little bit of time to get things right. I'd imagine, and I'd also imagine if you're going to lure somebody like him, that you know they're ready to spend some more money to get right. It's such an interesting program because it just feels like they're good, and then they go down, and then they're good, and then they go. But a lot of that you have to credit Jim. Like Coach Larrañaga was such a.
Right. I think that's the part because of the way it ended. That's the part that's going to get overlooked is how great he was at getting guys to do the right thing and be in the right spots and give the right effort.
Yeah.
His energy was reflected on by the way the team played.
Right. So, I don't know. That's an interesting one, man. All right. So Chris Quinn could be.
But I would like to see Chris Quinn get a job, and to be honest with you, the Miami job would be great because he still have his home base.
Right, you get to be home.
So you have somewhat of a support system to get into coaching.
True.
To head coaching.
Yeah.
Now, I don't know how – the thing is that I don't know how he deals with the recruiting aspect and the NIL aspect of it. But as far as coaching,
everybody says he's ready. Like everybody in that organization says he's the guy. The players, Spo. When Spo was away, he's the guy who took over. Everybody says Chris Quinn's that dude when
Frog
it comes to
boy.
This.
What?
Me.
You did say that you think you should kick Spo upstairs and you wanted Chris Quinn to take over.
Why I want Fizdale to get the game show.
Like, there's a different dynamic, though, when you say a guy's ready to be an NBA coach versus a guy ready to be a college coach. Because if you go up through the ranks in college, you understand the recruiting aspect of it, the NIL aspect of it. You understand all these things. when you come from the NBA to coach, you got to be brought up to speed on the recruiting rules, the NIL, how much money you're going to have, where the transfer portal, who can you talk to, who you can't. There's a whole lot of catching up that you would have to do as far as that's concerned.
Dade South just goes, Quinn went to Notre Dame, kick rocks.
Ooh, he did?
He did.
He looks like a goalie, right?
I believe the last time he had, there was a bet between him and UD, because UD loves Canes football, even though he's a Gator, and he made Chris Quinn wear the turnover chain at practice for the 17 game.
Oh, jeez.
We'll take a break. We come back, we'll talk to our guy from the Marlins Uncorked podcast, our favorite Marlins insider and podcast host, classing it on up. Peter Pratt's going to join us next on the show. Back after this. Welcome back, everybody. Welcome back. Tobin and Leroy here with you. 560 WQAM. Let's go out to the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Talk to our guy from the Marlins Uncorked podcast. Our guy, Peter Pratt from across the pond, joining us there. Our favorite Marlins insider to talk to. What's going on, Pete? How are you, buddy?
What's happening, guys? Happy New Year!
It is. Happy New Year. Happy New Year. Happy baseball season. It's good to see you, buddy.
Yeah, same, same. Hope everyone's doing well, guys. It's almost Marlins baseball season.
What do we have to look forward to? This is brutal.
The end of the season? Next year? I don't know. I don't know. That's a tough opening question, that one.
Well, I mean, Peter, think about this. We got into a 20-minute argument over whether a player who played for the Marlins for 4.5 years should be in the Marlins Hall of Fame. Yeah. That in itself is crazy.
Well, that was a little bit my fault. I was very fond of Brad Penny back in the day, Peter. And, you know, I feel like if you were a staple of that rotation in 2003, that should get you in eventually. Eventually.
But that's a moment. That's not
It's not a moment, dude. It was the moment.
It is.
It was the moment.
And to be open.
I guess,
still a moment.
I guess
you can put whatever adjective you want in front of it. Still only a moment.
I guess we'll start here, Pete, with the team, right? So Peter Bendix, Bruce Sherman, they address the media before spring training goes on. And much like Bruce did when I asked about this at the Clayton McCullough press conference, very dancing around Sandy's future with the team. And, you know, from my standpoint, it feels like the writing's on the wall. As soon as he looks like he can get through 9 innings, they're taking bids. So what do you make of their comments about Sandy's future?
You've nailed it. I mean, that is the comment, right? Like, Sandy, he's here for opening day. So, you know, listen, it's a big matchup and he's going to be there for opening day. But beyond that, like, I'm with you. People are talking about the deadline. I think with Sandy, as soon as he's like showing any resemblance of Sandy from a couple of years back, they're going to pull the trigger on something. There's no need to risk him. Like, he's going to be traded, I think, before the end of June, to be honest with you. I don't think it's going to get to the deadline. And that is rock bottom. I shared on my pod earlier this week. Like, that is the rock bottom of the rebuild. Once Sandy's gone, he's the final piece remaining, and unfortunately he has to go because this is the plan. A lot of the fans won't agree with it, and it will hurt a lot of fans, so it's going to be sad to see Sandy go. But man, what a part of the Marlins organization he has been. I think this is 5th opening day start. I mean, thinking about like Hall of Fame candidates for the Marlins, like, Sandy's right up there for me. He has just been an absolute stud for the past 5, 6, 7 seasons with the Marlins, so it'll be sad to see him go. But This is the spot the Marlins are in, which is a painful spot, but all you can do is embrace it somehow.
My problem is not that they trade guys when they get to a certain point. Like, we all knew Stanton was going to get traded. We all knew this. Okay, my problem is at some point in all your efforts to rebuild and rebuild and rebuild, you got to stick with a core group of guys and ride it out. We've been waiting for this forever.
Yeah.
Hence, case in point, we're asking about guys. We're having a hard time thinking who's the longest tenured Marlin. And has anybody reached 10 years with the Marlins? Like, that is crazy to me.
Yeah, it really is. The cycle just repeats, right? Like, as soon as you have one season of success, and I mean, success recently was just making the postseason. And as soon as you have one season, and granted, like, the Marlins rotation last year was banged up. They pulled the plug on that season and that roster, like, at the nearest possible opportunity.
Right.
And to your point, like, I get it, the guys were hurt, but everyone was still under control for this season. Could you not have just rolled with the dude? Sandy's back now, and it would look different. You got Sandy, Lozado, and the guys all back, and, you know, Arias, Jazz, and Berger, and whatever, you name it. Like, if they're back, they showed they can hang around. But nope, as soon as there was that, just, you know, the start last year was disgraceful. Whatever it was, 0-10 or something crazy. As soon as that happened, like, Peter Bendix was like, great, I now have the green light to blow this into smithereens. And that's what he's doing. And that's what he wanted to do. I think he wanted to do it in the offseason, but needed for the Marlins to start slowly. As soon as they did, then he was ready to go. But, man, it's painful. It's painful. We just want some sustained success. And that's kind of Bendix's message to everyone is, we have to do this again for sustained success. But, man.
But why? I'm sorry, but just from me being around the Marlins and watching the Marlins, there's nothing about this franchise that has ever been sustained for a period of time. I mean, even when they were at the highest of highs, soon as the season was over, nope, we can't do this another year.
Yeah, agreed. They're like anti-sustainable. Like, it's the opposite. Whatever sustainable is, like, the Marlins are the opposite of that situation, and they seemingly seek that. If there's any glimmer of hope, let's blow it up, baby. That seems to be the approach. So, yeah, it's definitely going to be a developmental year. Those comments, though, like you're talking about it, Tobin, about the comments from Bruce and Peter Bendix, boy, oh boy, there were some really fun sound bites out of that. I mean, 8 minutes.
Dude.
I mean,
Bruce Sherman was
on fire.
That's the thing, man, is like, Peter, and I don't know how you feel with this, but it's like with this regime, and Peter Pratt joining us here from the Marlins on Court podcast on the Toyota of Hollywood guest line. Shop over 2,000 Toyotas on sale at one location, Toyota of Hollywood on 441 between Hollywood and Sharon, toyotaofhollywood.com. Bruce is such a weird thing because it's like I hear Loria in him, but he's kind of like Loria almost without the bombastic personality. And I think the thing that's interesting with this build with him, you know, being at the helm, like, it was Jeter. So obviously Jeter's got baseball gravitas, even though I thought he was a bit of a buffoon. It's Derek Jeter. So it's like you're going to command the room in some regard. Then it's like, okay, then we go to Kim, and now we have this guy in Peter, who it's like Peter Bendix, who, like, he came from the Rays. Obviously, that's a storied program on how they build things, but it's almost like, it almost feels like we're floating in space, man. Like, when, at least when Loria and Sampson and Beinfest and Hill were here, it's like, I knew who did what, I knew who to be mad at, I knew, you know, what the thought process is. And it's like, here I'm just like, I don't know, maybe Peter Bendix is good, but I don't know, because it's like, I thought Kim Ang was good, and then they're like, nah, she's out of here, you know? And so I think that's the thing. It just feels rudderless at this point.
Yeah, it does. It definitely does. And I mean, I get it. I get their approach. Like, Bendix and the Rays, like, they've shown what's possible in this small market situation. Or no, I mean, small market's unfair because, like, listen, Miami is not a small market in any sense. So, you know, it's a big market, but you have an owner that's trying to run it as a small market team. That's the kind of difference here. But, you know, that's what's been presented there. But Kim Ang's way brought a postseason run. They caught lightning in a bottle, and Kim Ang, man, she swung some incredible trades. She, you know, upgraded that big league lineup, and that's what I, as a fan, I'm all in on the big league product. I don't care about the, you know, the low A team or anything like that. I'm just not interested in that. I want the big league product to be good. And if it's good, I'm all in. And I think, unfortunately, from the fans, it is rudderless for the fans at this point because there's no big league product. It's a big problem.
Is there, but okay, so getting back to Leroy's original point, like, is there something on this team that you're like, all right, I'm going to grab into the, other than Sandy's comeback and Yuri's comeback, or is it Norby? Is it somebody coming up who's going to be right up in a couple months? Is there somebody you're like, all right, this is what I'm going to sink my horns into here, and this is what I'm going to be excited about as a fan?
No, I've been searching for this guy. Who I'm drawn to, you know, I look back, like, who are my favorite guys? I've been, you know, most recently Jazz and Judy. I'm looking for the next Jazz because those are the dudes that excite you. And I'm looking around. I'm just struggling to get super excited by any of the guys. So I'm hoping that someone's going to emerge, some personality that I've yet to see. To be honest with you, the guy I'm most hyped about overall, off the offensive group anyway, is Dane Myers. I don't know why. In the small sample size we've seen, Dane's been fine. I think I just want him to be good. It's a bit like my Brinson thing back in the day. I just wanted Lewis Brinson to be good. And, you know, he hasn't got the prospect status and the trade history of Brinson and whatever, but I just want Dane to be really good for no real reason. And so I hope it's Dane. A lot of people are talking about Norby, and I get it. There's a few guys. Someone's going to ascend. Someone is going to come from this, like, triple A, quad A group and become okay, a big fish in a very small pond, to be honest with you. So someone is going to emerge. I don't know who that is. I'd love it to be Dane Myers, to be honest with you.
I'm with, look, anybody at this point. Like, I remember the years. Look, I remember Dan Ugla. Like, it was like, who, how do you say his name? Like, it became the joke with Tommy and Rich. It's like, his name is Dan Ugla. Like, it can happen where it's like, you think a team is going to absolutely suck, and you get to be in love with certain guys. Like, it's not impossible. Cody Ross, like, was a cast-off and became somebody that the fans, you know, really were attracted to. Mike Jacobs, Corey Cantu. So I'm not saying it's impossible. It just feels like, man, you want to talk about just what we've been bereft of with it, where it sucks that we lose Jazz Chisholm. At least Jazz Chisholm could hit tater tots and had a flair for the dramatic, and so did Berger. And they're just Berger, like, nah, see ya. Yep. We're gonna strip it down even more. So I'm just hopeful that somebody can make this a watchable product. But it's like when I hear Bruce Sherman talk about, you know, the buzzwords of we're going to be defense and we're going to be hustle and speed, I'm like, that just is translation for
that
we got nobody,
like no talent.
Yeah, we got no boppers. No,
I mean, if they're going to do it, if they're going to do it like Tampa did, then isn't that more reason to keep Sandy?
I mean,
if you say we're going to be defense and we're going to be, that means you better have a unbelievable pitching staff because you're not going to score. So,
yeah,
doesn't that lead to we're keeping Sandy?
Nah, dude.
I mean, based on what they're saying, right? That's what it sounds like. Because when you think of those Tampa Bay teams, that's what they did. They pitched well.
Dude, he's already scouting prospects. I guarantee it. Yeah. He's already got like a dozen triple A, double A guys. He's already got his heart set on. He's like, got to call up whoever and just be like, what do you think of this? He's already got the names in mind. That's how gone Sandy is, Leroy.
I think I would feel better if what I'm hearing was consistent with what they were doing.
Mm-hmm.
So, like, when you talk about defense, means you're not going to get anybody, you're not going to hire bats, you're not going to buy any bats. If you're going to be good defense, it starts with pitching. But we all know Sandy's out of there.
Yep.
So how can you say those words while getting rid of your best pitcher, which is the only way you can play baseball the way you're trying to play it?
But there's a problem here. The Marlins are about to be way down in starting pitching. They've either traded them or they're hurt at the moment. They have no defense. Whatever Bruce Sherman's saying, he's wrong, by the way. Like, the Marlins, the defense aspect, they're going to be bottom third of Major League Baseball in defense. They have no talent in defense either. They've got no sticks with any power. Like, it's really not looking good for this year. But the one thing, there's a couple of things that Bruce Sherman has really called out that is unquestionable. The Marlins now have the second biggest weight room of any Major League Baseball. That was the thing.
I was like, wow.
Wow. We're getting those guys stronger. Ain't going to get them to hit more home runs.
They may not be able to hit home runs now, but after this second biggest weight room in all of Major League Baseball, there is going to be a power surge out of the Marlins. You need to give it at least, I don't know, what, 6 to 12 months for the weight room to kick in? I don't know.
I think that was...
I'm baffled by this.
My favorite... My favorite thing, though, with all that was like, wait, so he had probably in his mind wanted to say, we're going to have the biggest weight room. But then somebody in the league was just like, wait, how big is their weight room? Too much. We'll go second biggest weight room. There's no shame in being the second biggest weight room.
They realized it was an extra like $57,000 to get the biggest. And Bruce's like, no. Signing off on that. No. We're going to go the second, which is fine.
Peter, how about this? Have you ever heard an owner brag about all the money he spent outside of the baseball team. He goes, you guys not don't once. Realize how much money we're spending. I'm like, we don't.
We don't. It's not right. showing up on the field. But, I mean, the brags from Bruce Sherman in those 8 minutes were, I mean, it was a lengthy list, no doubt. The weight room, he was talking about this, in one of the biggest front offices, all of these things. Like, these are the things the fans don't care about. They care none of this. These are just, this. It's an operating expense. That's the cost of doing business in baseball now at this point.
Right.
This isn't an add-on, a kind of shiny add-on.
What I do,
it's just what's required.
Look, whatever I know, whatever they have spent, like I don't know what it costs to run a team. Something tells me when they don't have to pay Sandy his $16 million by the end of the year, it's going to make good for whatever the weight room cost. You know, just something tells me. I don't know what the difference there is going to be, but they'll be like, oof, we had to buy that second biggest weight room. How much did that cost? Oh, $1 million? Don't worry, Sandy's gone. We got him for peanuts. Great.
Listen, boys, I need to see you guys doing a show live from the Marlins weight room at some point. If someone could make that happen, then, you know, that would be sensational.
That's going to be my request. If they have us out there, I'm going to be like, you got to show me this weight room. I got to see what you guys got. I mean, what's going on here? Oh, it's like you got look, they have kettlebells, but there's actually goldfish swimming in them. This is amazing.
Must be.
it's absolutely nuts to me. You got any excitement? Like, are you excited to see Yuri back when he gets back? You know, that was one of the unfortunate things is, you know, last year we talk about guys getting deterred. Sounds like it's going to be all-star break for him, but he did look like the truth, man. Do you feel like this is a guy who could pick up where he left off?
Yeah, absolutely with Yuri. And I think, you know, he's so young and he's, you know, early in his service time period that he can be around. He isn't on the trade block, I think, at this point. And actually, from a Marlins standpoint, the thing I'd look out for in the next couple of months is, could the Marlins actually get an extension done with Yuri Perez? That's the thing that I'm thinking about at this point. My gut feel is they may want to like just control service time a little bit when he comes back. Maybe we don't see him in the big leagues after the All-Star break, even though he's ready.
Oh, my goodness, that would
be- you know, you can see that happening, but they may pay him, you know, they could pay him some money and get an extension done. So maybe that's the commitment of this front office and Bruce Sherman and Peter Bendix is, we really see Yuri Perez as the future. Let's get him extended and let's get him healthy. I mean, that's the main thing. Like, let's get him back and healthy. And,
if they get rid of Sandy, then they have to hang on to him because they're probably thinking he's going to be the next Sandy.
Anything's possible, but I hope so. I mean,
we're just spitballing here. Nobody knows.
No, exactly. But he did look like a stud, no doubt. But like a super small sample size too. Like Sandy Alcantara, like is the certified stud. We know, like it's rock solid with Sandy. With Yuri Perez, we've seen what 10, 15 starts at the big league level, to be honest. And so we don't really know.
That's one of the things, though, that I am. Like, I know Sandy's as good as gone, but that is one of the things. Like, Leroy talks about arguments keep around. You know that they have a very special relationship. And there's something about, like, hey, all right, I know you guys want to get rid of Sandy as soon as possible because you guys can't afford him. But there's got to be something said for, like, all right, you're going to basically throw this 21-year-old into the deep end by himself off Tommy John. I'd much rather have him have his mentor there to at least kind of guide him through some of this as long as it is possible. But if it is, you know, up to the trade deadline, they're going to probably be rats off a ship on it anyway. But that to me is like the only part of it that gives me a great pause is I get that you guys got to get rid of Sandy because you can't afford him. But, man, you know, I feel like it would be such a resource for Yuri to have once he is on the mend back to have Sandy in that clubhouse with him. And it sounds like he's not going to be.
Yeah, I'm completely with you. And I think that's the role that Sandy played last year, too. Obviously, Yuri was hurt as well. But you're completely right. Like, Sandy, you know, it's not just on the field, off the field. He's just an absolute stud. And everyone just gravitates to Sandy. He just does everything the right way. And he's going to be a huge, if he is moved, and let's assume that he is, it's going to be a huge loss for the fans, for the players that are there and remain, and everyone. Like, it's going to be huge. Yuri Perez, having Sandy around for another year, 2 years, would have been huge for him too. And I think it's going to hamper his development because there is no greater person to lean on for Yuri Perez than Sandy. And we've already seen that. The two of them, like, they've been inseparable for a year or two. And so it's going to be, you know, definitely have a negative impact for Yuri. But I guess that's baseball, right? I mean, I wanted to keep Sandy. Mm-hmm. I just don't think they will. And I think, you know, the comments the other day, it was like very obvious.
Yeah.
That they, all he had to do, Brooks wanted to brag about everything on that day, the weight room, the number of minor league free agents. He was happy to brag about anything, but and he also bragged about his Sandy extension. He wanted to go that far to say, "Hey, I did that. Remember that extension? I did that.
Remember that extension that I'm not gonna fulfill. That I can't wait to flip."
It's like, but he couldn't commit to Sandy's going to be here for 25. He could have just said it straight off the bat. Listen, guys, just want to call out. We're not going to be that good this year. Developmental year. Sandy's going to be here. Don't worry about it. Let's go.
He really is Loria without the Picassos.
Change the tone, right?
He's really he's Loria without the fancy art. Like that's really what he's become. It's crazy to me.
Yeah.
I mean, do you think it's a Marlins thing? Like everybody who owns the team comes in with this level of enthusiasm about what they're going to do, and then they actually see the situation with the cost and what you're going to have to spend, and it's like, oh, got in over my head.
Yeah, it feels a bit like that, doesn't it? Like, you know, the level of investment just hasn't been there in the past at least 10 years or so. So the sense is that either these guys are looking at it as this is an investment and I'm here to make money from the Marlins because, you know, the league's paying basically my payroll because of revenue sharing, et cetera, et cetera. I'm just going to cream off the top. Or actually, we thought we were coming in. We thought we could fix attendance. We can't fix attendance. So actually, you know, we're just going to, it's not quite as viable as I maybe thought it was. It's a good point. I mean, they're not going to fix the attendance until the product's good. You know, that's just the reality.
Right. Especially when year after year after year, you get me all excited for baseball and then you have moves due to some of the things you do. Like we go to camp and we talk to all the stars, we talk to Jazz and we, you know, a lot of the new guys. And then if we go back the following year, half of those guys aren't even there. You can't build relationships.
No, it was great. It was a great kick in the junk to see the ex-Marlins World Series last year. Like it was awesome. I mean, it didn't make you want to run your head through a wall at all. Peter Pratt, host of Marlins Uncorked podcast. Go check him out on all your podcast platforms. We always appreciate when he gives us time. Thank you, buddy.
Thanks,
love you guys.
Peter.
All right, we'll take a break.
See you guys.
Back with more after this.
Flurries of fun await this winter in Indiana. Feel the rush of the Midwest's only refrigerated toboggan run. Ski down snow-covered slopes and marvel at frozen waterfalls on a winter hike. When it's time to unwind, from outdoor fun to indoor escapes, your perfect winter getaway starts in Indiana. Plan your trip today at inindiana.com/winter.
College holds a mythic place in American culture, but there are stories you won't hear on the campus tours.
The higher-ups are concerned about one thing, and that is avoiding scandal.
I'm Margot Gray. On the new podcast, Campus Files, we cover everything from rigged admissions to the drama of Greek life and student protests. Listen to and follow Campus Files, an Odyssey original podcast, available now on the free Odyssey app and wherever you get your podcasts.